Good morning. Welcome to the Atypical Mental Dad podcast. It's a Sunday morning. I have no real content or idea. I just feel like talking this morning. So it's Sunday, the end of September. I think it's what, the 27th today. Working on a nice, very mild dose of can of coffee, like I've become accustomed to doing on either a Saturday or a Sunday morning, depending on what I've got on deck for the rest of the day. But no, not enough to really, get me messed up, so to speak. I'm just really kind of gives me a slight case of the tingles, and then, physically, that's about it. But mentally, it kind of seems to lets me enjoy the day a little bit more. Honestly, Sundays generally, I have a little bit of trepidation because as I go through the day, I realize that it's time to go back to work on Monday. And almost really generally don't get to enjoy the day that is Sunday for what it is, and end up just kind of worrying, and then sometimes even have to kind of prep myself for the day at work in my office the next day to make sure I get all the shit done and don't miss anything. But anyway, one of the topics that I wanted to talk about, and there's got to be somebody else that experiences this, what's the relationship to the way that your body has to make you go to the bathroom? I don't even know the proper way to say this without sounding like a child, but you gotta take shit. Number two, call it what you want. So I've got an office that's probably about what, 50 feet from my house, we'll say at the most, at least to the entrance. And then, if you really look to the straight line to the bathroom, you're probably talking about 30 feet. So I could be sitting in the house and this happens countless times. I'm sitting in the house. Generally, I get up, I eat breakfast, I have my coffee, I go to the bathroom. Sometimes you go once, sometimes you go twice. Sometimes I'm a morning pooper. Usually I got it all taken care of by 9 o'clock. But sometimes it's multiple times. But what happens to me just about every day, and it's happened today. Now, today I did not go to the bathroom before I came out here. It was early. And I'm sipping my coffee now. So there are some excuses for this today. But it doesn't matter. Even if I go to the bathroom, it seems like I come out to my office, I get settled into work, and within about 5 minutes, I have to go back and go to the bathroom. It doesn't matter if I've already gone. There have been times where I've gone twice, and I come out here, and shortly after, it's like, oh, it's time to go to the bathroom again. So, is there a toxic element in my office that I'm unaware of that's making me go to the bathroom when I get out here? I've always kind of made this joke that I call it like the poop magnet. And I know that I'm not the only one that's experiences this because I've talked to other people about this. But like sometimes you're driving and you kind of have to go to the bathroom, but it's not too bad. But once you get back, you're going to go. But then as you get closer to the house, it's like your house. It's like your body knows that you're close, or maybe your mind just kind of starts focusing on it a little more. And next thing you know, it's almost unbearable. I've had at times where, because of my past job, where I've driven 5 or 6 hours, and sometimes you get about 2 hours from home, and you're like, oh, I could stop and go to the bathroom, but is it bad enough that I want to stop? Is it going to cause me any real discomfort, or is it just kind of like a mild little, I can make it. And then, I've done that, and then I get like 5 minutes from home, and next thing you know, I'm like Kramer in his tight jeans in that episode. I can't straighten out my legs, or there's going to be an accident there. And then, you just barely make it in the door. It's like, I don't know what that is, but it's like, so I call it the poop magnet. It's like your poop is magnetically drawn to your home toilet. And the closer you get, the stronger that pull is. We won't call it a gravitational pull. But you get the point. But anyway, this is a situation that I run into every day that absolutely nobody cares to hear about. But I told you I had no real content, and so I'm going to share it anyway. But I also, one of the things that I've really been thinking about and really been itching with and is, when the plan to potentially open up some live venues are again and live shows. I think we're at that point where it should really be considered. I know Florida is starting to allow bars and restaurants to open up to full capacity. Now, I don't know what that means, if that means there's still some, I would assume that there are still some precautions being taken. But you never know. Florida's pretty wild. Regardless of its political leanings, most of the people there seem to have a different a different way of life. Obviously, that's only just taken from the Florida Man headlines. But I really hope that it works out. Because it would be a great sign for other states to follow. If they're able to go through this and really mitigate any explosions in the virus. So I kind of have my fingers crossed for You know, for everybody involved, regardless, you know, you got politics, people want it to work, people are scared that it's not going to, of course, they're fighting. And I'm just sitting here in the middle saying, look, forget the politics. I just want it to work from a human standpoint. You know, I think people need to be able to do some of the things that they used to be able to do. And for me, it's just going to live shows. You know, that's something that I had done for, a great deal of my youth, you know, well, by youth, I mean like teens, late teens, from like my 18 to early 20s. That's really all we did. You know, every weekend there was something to do. I've discussed it before. As I've gotten older and getting family responsibilities, that had been severely hampered. I mean, there were years where I didn't go to any shows, and honestly, I had so much going on, I didn't even really think about it. But as my kids got older and you start to get a little bit more free time and a little bit less guilt of leaving and doing things, you know, you don't want to leave your significant other, you know, with after she has had, you know, a long day taking care of the kids and you've been at work or whatever, you know, just so you can, all right, sorry, but, you know, I'm going out again, you know, and that's a personal thing. You know, I know my wife would be okay with it. She would have been, but, you know, you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to support the people in your life that need you. But as they get older, you start to realize, all right, you know, it's not a big deal. And you know, you and your significant other have these conversations where it's like, all right, now I need this. I need to get out a little bit. And then you start to strategize as to how, you know, the two of you can spend a little bit of time together, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe get out without the kids and start doing that. But then also how you can, you know, retain a little bit of your individual identity as well and connect with some friends and go do what you want to do. You know, for me personally, in my wife's case, She loves to meet up with her friends and this particularly one or two friends, usually one individually, you know, and meet with them on separate occasions. But, you know, she'll meet up with them for coffee on occasion. But really every Sunday, she's been meeting up with one of her oldest friends and they go for a hike at a different trail around, which we have quite a few up here in the Rhode Island area. So she's been doing that and then, you know, that's what she needs and that's what she deserves. Number one, cause she's just a fantastic wife and mother. But you know, the timing of it works and, you know, it gives her a chance to get away, which is great. And I think it really refreshes and recharges her and it covers a lot of bases for her. You know, you get some really good exercise, which she's been very good about keeping up with anyway. She gets to spend time with her friends, but then, you know, she's always really loved the outdoors and things like that. So she gets that fix of nature as well. And you know, my thing was just occasionally I get together with my oldest friend, not my oldest friend, my best friend though, Pete. And, you know, sometimes we just go out to eat, we'll play video games, we'll just hang out, you know, do whatever we could do. But then, you know, I'd get together with my older friends and we'd meet up and go to a show a couple of times a year. And that was it. That was all I needed. And as I've said before, there were a couple of shows that I just ended up saying, screw it, I'm just going to go by myself. Either A, nobody was available, or B, nobody liked the particular type of music that I was going to see, which is understandable. So, you know, I had done that a couple of times myself, but, you know, it was just enough. Just a few times a year was enough to get me what I wanted. And now I'm itching for it. You know what I mean? I'm really, and that's it. I know it's selfish. I know that there are other things that need to be concerned. You know, I want everybody to get back to work, like, you know, and get back up to the levels that they were. And I really hope that happens. But from a personal standpoint, I, you know, obviously, and from a social standpoint, you know, looking out for the things that you would like to see and the things that you want and or need, and it balances and struggles. Is it a need? I mean, technically, no. Do I need to go see live concerts? No. I mean, I'm going to physically be okay without it. But mentally, it feels like a need because it's just a great release for me. It's like the culmination of all the shit that I do. I mean, I'm doing little videos, washing records on Instagram. I'm talking to fucking, I don't even know if anybody's listening to this on the other end about music. I'm thinking about doing some shit on YouTube about music. So it's the ultimate culmination of what I love is just going to see it live. And that really keeps me at bay for a couple of months. Now, am I doing all of this shit now because I don't have that? I don't know. I am enjoying it, especially the Instagram portion of it. I've just met a lot of cool people from cool bands. I've been turned on to a lot of cool music. It's been a very positive experience on there. And the interaction is something that I'm sorely lacking. So it's really, really been enjoyable. But, you know, am I filling a void that was you know, that was created by the lack of really any type of a social life at this point. But really going to do just like the one thing that I particularly, you know, needed to feel complete. And I hope that's not the case, because, you know, I would love to go see live music, and I would love to continue doing some of the things that I've started. And I'm kind of surprised. I don't really have a consistent schedule at doing some of this stuff, but I am enjoying utilizing my free time in a constructive manner. I've obviously got my enjoyment out of pot, but my plan was never to just, you know, quote unquote, be a pothead. You know, I love marijuana, but I don't like to just smoke and sit and veg out. That was never my plan. I used to, when I was, I say used to, it's just been a couple of weeks, I've been too busy, but I would, you know, I would take a little swig off a vape pen and, you know, mow the lawn, clean the yard, steam mop the floors, go to the track and work out. I like it. Cause where it gets it makes me enjoy just about everything that I'm doing. And a lot of that again ties back into music. Because most of the time when I'm doing that stuff, I've just slightly altered my mindset, and I've got some of my favorite music on. So what's not to love? You want to steam mop the floors for 45 minutes because that, you know, you haven't done it in a couple of weeks. All right. You got your headphones on. You know, if you're out there mowing the lawn and manicuring your yard the best you can in the goddamn woods, you've got your music on. So just, you're running at the track. That's like my favorite thing to do. That's because the music motivates me. And, you know, you're jogging around the track and you're dogging ass because you're getting old and your workout's almost over. And, you know, you've run a mile, but you're fucking huffing and puffing like you're going to have a heart attack. And then, you know, that one track from the newest Xibalba record kicks on. I can't think of the name. I think it might be the title track. Anos en Infierno. Excuse me. Apologize for my French. Mi hermano. From Arrested Development. But anyway, you know, a song like that kicks in and it's going to push you a little bit harder. And there are times where, you know, I've been jogging, especially early on in my workout, where a song like that comes on and it actually pushes my pace a little bit too much early on. So I tucker myself out a little bit early and got to pace myself. One sec, I got to sip this coffee. This is fantastic. I got a blueberry can of coffee today. I'm absolutely loving it. That's good coffee. So, you know, I'm trying to, I'm looking at other states to see what they're doing, but I'm also a little bit envious because I'm seeing, you know, on Instagram, it's obviously a global platform. So I'm looking and I'm starting to see bands like playing, you know, I'm seeing pictures from shows in other countries. I'm seeing, you know, bands announce some of their dates. I don't know what the venues are like. I don't know if they're packed. I don't know if there's like a maximum capacity that these places are allowing. I don't know what it is, and I don't care at this point. As long as I could go see something, I would take whatever the penalty is for being there, and whether that means you know, only 20 of you can, you have to pay some type of a fee. But, you know, this is the type of things that I think about, because you see some of these, you know, quote unquote, cool concerts, you know, outdoors, and they're, you know, they have just space, and people have their own fucking inner tube or some shit like that. And you know that they're paying an exorbitant amount. Excuse me. And my fear is that the longer this continues, the further that divide goes. And then, you know, going to see live music starts to become a thing that only the wealthy can afford. And you know, there are a lot of times in sporting events, you know, have gotten priced out to the point where a lot of people, it's just too much for them to take their whole family to. And concerts are more than usually an individual thing, or just like, you know, couples. Sometimes you bring your kids, and that's a little bit different. But, you know, most of the time you'll see it's just a couple of people there together, you know, groups, small groups of adults, we'll call it. And, you know, you see that, but then, you know, you got some of the smaller shows that I go to, and you know, they're like $10, $15. But, you know, you want to go see like some of the bigger name acts, like, you know, Pearl Jam and Rage Against the Machine, all those big anti-capitalist artists, you know, commanding, what, $150 for a ticket, selling it through Ticketmaster again, or Live Nation, and then, you know, being at a corporate-sponsored stadium. Really sticking it to the man, you guys are. But anyway, you're getting to the point where a lot of those tickets and you want to go see the Rolling Stones, good luck. It's just not affordable. And then, most of that stuff gets snatched up and sold in the secondary market, which makes it even harder to grasp for most people. So my fear is that trend continues. And if clubs have to start taking in, can only take in limited capacity, and then, you have to space everything out. So you have to adjust your price accordingly. You have to, and it's not just, they're not just going to do it arbitrarily. Maybe you have to have different equipment. Maybe you have to have extra personnel to make sure that goddamn social distancing is being enforced or people to count. So there are going to be increases in costs to put on these shows as long as all of these restrictions are in place. And then, I'm fortunate where a $20 show isn't a big deal to me, but there are people that maybe that's something that they can only do once or twice a year. Well, what if that goes to a $35 show? You start to price regular people out of things that they used to do. And what are they going to find to substitute that? Hopefully some other things pop up, but I'm just itching for a return to normalcy for so many reasons, because I just think people need it. And things like this, you start to see where it really, affects it affects people in different ways. Wealthy people are going to stay wealthy. I'm not wealthy. I'm firmly planted in the middle class. I'm comfortable, but I don't have. There's a chance that this could go sideways on me any day. If my industry starts to falter again like it did back in March, there's not necessarily a need for all of us. And I think they did a pretty damn good job of finding ways to keep us active and keep us busy, knowing that it was going to be bad for the short term and then things would start to open up, and they were certainly right. But if that happens again and then, the future is even less predictable, I'm certainly not immune to any negatives from this and from any downturns in the economy, I just think about stuff like that. And, I think about people both, above me in terms of, social economic status and people below me in that case. Sometimes I do like to think a little bit when the pot hits in and kind of think about the effect that it has on the people above me, status wise, the people that are unfortunately, under me in social economic status. And then, the people that are in my position and what would happen to me ultimately, if all this, if my industry went sideways and I found myself unemployed. That's why I always, try to be sensitive to what's going on and understand what's happening to the middle and to the lower class and hope that they just don't continue to get beaten down and decimated. There's just a lot of shit that needs to be fixed, for lower income people. And I really hope that a lot of the talk that we've seen for fucking decades from everybody in both sides, all of the shit that's happening now, and I just wish none of it was. But I would like for it to stop. But I know the only way for it to stop is for there to be some real change. So, hopefully we get somebody. Get some of the better minds together that we have, if there are any left, and try to straighten that shit out. But I also think that states need to kind of get their act together and figure out what they're going to do in terms of moving towards testing full reopenings. I think college campuses have done a lot better, from what I've read, than they thought they would do. And even the public schools that have opened with limited capacity seem to be marching in a proper direction. But hey, who knows? It's not flu season yet. So once everybody gets sick and has a 115 degree fever, they'd be dead, but has a 100-degree fever and has to quarantine for 2 weeks, for safety reasons for those around. And then, who knows what the heck could happen. So it's going to be an interesting fall, but I think, after this fall, you'll essentially have had two seasons of it. And there's supposedly a vaccination or two or three on the way. And we'll see. But I'm really just kind of hoping after a year, essentially, of this under our belt, you kind of have like, all right, this is what the waves are going to be. This is how bad they're going to be. And if you're susceptible, steps you have to take to keep yourself safe. But again, I don't have any fucking knowledge of any of this. I'm just kind of given like what I would love to do and how I would love to see it all roll out. But I just don't have high hopes for it. There's unfortunately too many political, too much political politicization of it at stake for everybody to just, you know, just sit down silently. I don't care if you don't have to do it public. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to kiss each other's rings publicly. Just behind the scenes, get it done and go back to calling each other assholes in the public sphere. I don't care. Just fix it and get a plan. Anyway, that was it. That was my rant for a Sunday morning. Actually, I had no content, but went for 20 minutes. Was any of it valuable content? I'd say maybe about 3 or 4 seconds, but anyway, I hope you all have a great Sunday and, you know, end up going into a fantastic week of work.